Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And thank you, Picker. I like hearing that song first thing here on Sunday morning. And good morning to all you listeners out there. My name is R.T. Lowe, and you're listening to For Your Information here on Cox Radio. For Your Information is a public affairs program that we have here, and we try to present some things that are going on in the community that the folks would find interesting. And I try to have a guest because I'm awful boring by myself. We have a great guest today. He is the Superintendent of Schools for Cleveland Independent School District, Dr. Daryl Myers. Dr. Myers, do I still have you on the line?
I'm still here, RT. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's great to have you on. I tell you what, let's start out by letting the people know who you are, Dr. Myers.
Well, I'm the Superintendent of Schools for Cleveland Independent School District, and this is I just completed my third year, and starting on my fourth year in the district, and I've been a superintendent. This is my 20th year as a superintendent, so been in the superintendency a while, and about my 36th year in public education, so I've been around East Texas for a little bit.
And I tell you what, over that 36 years, you've noticed a few changes, I'm sure.
It's changed a lot. The business has since I first started. I can assure you that a lot of things have changed, some for the good and some for the not so good, but nevertheless, things have changed.
And I guess that kind of puts you in a good place, a good stead, as they say, for taking the job at Cleveland, because Cleveland is in the midst of change.
It is, and that's one of the reasons that I came to Cleveland is I felt like I had some things to offer in Cleveland that could help them with the transition that we're going through currently and are going to continue to go through over the next, 10 years to 15 years.
Yes, the big one, of course, I guess you'd call it the big one because from there so many things stem, is growth. As you and I were talking earlier, Cleveland has just exploded in the last two or three, 4 years.
It has, and this year we've grown almost 20%, and you think, well, 20%, but we've gone from 4,149 students to right at 5,000 students during the school year. So
wow,
it's a significant growth, and I don't see it slowing anytime soon. So we've got some challenges ahead as far as facilities are concerned and educating students as well.
That brings us to something that you and the board voted on recently. First, let's make sure everybody knows the superintendent can't just say, hey, we're going to have a change in the school system. It doesn't work like that. They put you in charge, but you still have other people that you have to get direction from, right?
That's correct. Ever who came up with the format was smart enough not to let a bunch of superintendents have complete control. And so our board of trustees are the ones that control those factors. The superintendent just makes recommendations to the board, and the boards are the ones that actually dictate the direction for the district, especially on bonds and things of that nature. I do the legwork, and the staff does the legwork of getting the numbers to the board, informing the board where we're at as far as facilities, the number of students, and budget, and things of that nature. And the board takes that information and the recommendations, and then they act on it as to whether, we need to go for a bond or we need to do something else.
And recently, the board did vote for a bond for a number of reasons, and I'm going to let you kind of explain what those are and what you think about the situation. As a layman, it's not too difficult to understand. You got to have somewhere to put feed and house these extra 1,000, almost 2,000 students in a year's growth, and not to mention
What we did was back in 2015, we went for a bond for $35 million, and we had that bond passed, and we based that bond on about a 4-5% growth pattern that we had seen, and that bond was for expanding the middle school, expanding Eastside campus to house more kids, and some safety issues that we needed to address on each of our campuses, and then also a pretty good size cooling project for the south side with their chillers and so forth. So that's what that bond was for. And when we looked at it, we thought that bond's going to hold us for about 5 years or so. It'll hold us till we get 5,000 students. Well, you know, little did we know that in 18 months after that, we were going to have 5,000 students. So we did not anticipate 20% growth. And so that's the reason for this bond. If we had the facilities already constructed, which they are under construction right now, kind of in the middle of it, if we had those ready to go at the present time, we would still be at our capacity. So that's why the board went for this bond, and this bond being a $80 million bond to build a new elementary school, double the size essentially of the high school, and then also take some money and build some infrastructure is with regards to our auxiliary services, like our transportation, food service, maintenance service, custodial services, warehousing, and those type things. All of those are spread throughout the town, and we really need to consolidate those as we grow as a district and move forward. Not only are we going to need campuses to house students, but we're going to have warehousing space, and we're adding 7 buses a year for the last couple of years, and probably will be that many or more next year. And so as we grow, all those things grow as well, and we need to be prepared for the future because the growth looks like that it's sustainable growth.
And that's the thing. We're not looking for this to fall off anytime in the near future. I'm sorry, but a kind of a semi-funny thing that I heard once at a speech. Mattress Max was asked one time why he had everything at one location. And he said, number one, it's a lot easier to keep up with what I have. And number two, they can only walk off with so much when I'm watching.
Well, I can certainly appreciate that. You know, when you look at our auxiliary services, a bus barn's too small, not only for the buses, but for the number of employees, and it's pretty much landlocked where it is.
Yes.
It was built in the late 60s. Same thing with our maintenance department. Our warehousing is an old seafood restaurant that the board owns, and the roof is bad on it, and the school district owns, and the roof's bad on it. It needs some repair and things like that. And I just, in looking at the structure, not sure that we want to put money into that type of thing. So another thing is our food service. As we grow, it's going to be real important, not only in food service, but also with warehousing, that we'd be able to buy in bulk and store in bulk.
Yeah.
And larger freezers for food service to be able to handle those type things is important. And then for distribution, being able to distribute out of one particular center certainly helps. And as we grow and probably over the next 15 years wind up with, the way things are going, 13, 14, maybe 15 elementary schools, 2 or 3 middle schools and a couple of high schools, it's going to be critical that we have a centrally located auxiliary service department that can service all those campuses out of one location.
And people, if you think about it on a smaller scale at your house, you don't want to have a fairly good-sized pantry in the kitchen, and then one in the bedroom, and one in the guest room, and a couple in a closet down the hall, because that's basically what you're trying to keep up with. If it's scattered all over, it's got to be a logistics nightmare.
It does create problems for us in the district, and it creates logistical issues, but and that's what we're trying to do with this bond, is look ahead to what's coming down the road in the next 10 years and get prepared right now so that as we add those campuses, we're not fighting ourselves as far as distribution's concerned, as far as being able to service those campuses, that we're prepared for what's coming.
And we're speaking with Dr. Daryl Meyer. He's the superintendent of schools for the Cleveland Independent School District. And currently they're just passed a request for the patrons to approve a bond issue for how much? $80 million?
$80 million, that's correct.
And he's telling us some of the things it's going to be used for. And you and I haven't spoken about this or anything, so I hope I'm not putting you on a spot, but I would think that you've already talked to other superintendents and other school districts, school boards such as Conroe and New Caney, and even any of the school districts along the northern corridors, whether it's 59 or 69 or 45, to try to get an idea how they've handled the growth, right, and the mistakes they made.
Well, that's correct. Actually, RT, we joined the Texas Fast Growth School Coalition, which is made up of school districts across the state, say Frisco, Solana, Hutto, places like that that are growing similarly to Cleveland. And through that network, and Dr. Guy Sconzo, who is the recently retired superintendent at Humble, is the president of that organization, we're able to pick their brains about what we need to be doing, if we're doing the right things, if we're making the right moves, how we need to prepare for this growth and so forth. So there's no need for us to try to reinvent the wheel or try to come up with things on our own when people are out there in the business that have been through this previously, and we can learn from them.
And the thought behind that, of course, is that you're not going about this haphazardly, and this isn't something, you know, that's being sprung on you as far as what to do. It's happening, and it's happening, and you've done the work to figure out what you need to do to make the proper steps for our future.
Correct. You know, there's a lot of research and thought that goes into it. You just don't jump out there and ask your taxpayers and your patrons to approve $80 million. You have to have the data to support that. And when you look at the number of lots that are going to be on the ground in the Cleveland Independent School District ready for purchase in the next, say, 5 years, you're talking about somewhere in the neighborhood of 26,000-27,000 lots. So if you just anticipate one child per lot, you know, you're talking about thousands of students. You know, you're talking about another 20,000 to 21,000 students over the next 10 to 15 years. So,
and that's
one.
There's
a lot of thought process that goes into that, in what we need and how we need to attack that right now. How we're dealing with it is by purchasing portable buildings, and certainly that's not the best investment. I mean, they are a necessity, but at the same time, we don't want to buy any more than we have to. We would rather put our money in brick and mortar, but nonetheless, we are purchasing portables, and folks will see those, patrons will see those coming up on most of our campuses, in particular probably next year, some conspicuous ones up at the high school campus. And, you know, we're trying to, we're not ahead of this phenomenon. We're just trying to catch up with it.
And excuse our interruption there. I had a computer malfunction. You were telling us about the number of houses and locations that are coming in. Those are the ones that we know about. Those are the subdivisions that are already be platted.
That's correct, RT. That's the ones that we currently know about. So, and you know, the Parkway 99 coming through the southern portion of our school district is a big driver in that. So, it's going to be a lot of growth over the next 10 to 15 years in our community. And, you know, people ask about the bond and if we're going to have another bond in 2 or 3 years or whatever. And the answer to that is, you know, I don't have an answer. If you look at historical growth and you look at the last year, you know, next year if we grow close to 20%, you know, we'll be up to 6,000 students in 2018. So who knows where we're going. We've got a demographic firm that's working with us that's doing some demographic work, not only for campus boundaries, but also for growth, and they're going to advise us on what they see in the future. But, I can't answer those questions about when the next bond would come to pass. We just don't know.
It's when we've got to have it. That's you want to try to stay ahead of the curve, but
right. Well, you know, one of the things is, RT, we could, you know, our last bond was for $35 million, and it passed by 44 votes, and we've come to the voters this time with $80 million because of this rapid growth that we've had, It takes about 3 years from the time that we recognize we need a bond until we can get a school on the ground. So it's critical that we don't waste time. And, we're looking for an elementary and doubling the size of the high school. But if we continue to grow at a 15 to 20% growth rate, it's very possible that we can need another bond quickly. But if we would have gone to the voters and asked for, say, $160 million to try to cover 3 or 4 different schools in the future, I don't think that was a wise thing to ask for our voters to do. I would rather ask them every 3 or 4 years for a bond than to ask them for a lump sum for us to hold on to for, 5 to 7 years.
And there's some, besides making common sense, there's some good financial reasons for that too. Your taxes, just because they built the subdivision doesn't mean that your taxes come in immediately.
That's correct. We lag behind about a year as far as the revenue off that property is concerned. So when someone builds a house, we usually don't realize the revenue on that until, the next tax year. So, we're always lagging about a year behind. Fortunately, our values are going up, and that's a good thing for our taxpayers from the standpoint that it helps hold the tax rate down. The current bond that we're looking at right now would basically have about 3.5 cents impact on the tax rate, for the school tax rate, which is considerably less than it would have been 4 or 5 years ago, just due to the increase in property values. So as we grow and as we have rooftops that come in and subdivisions that come in, it helps other property owners as well to share that burden.
And as the population increases, we'll also have convenience stores, grocery stores, general merchandise stores that will also help carry the burden.
Well, yeah, I have looked at some of the development down as far as on the Parkway with the developers that are doing that, those subdivisions, and they have retail spaces laid out along that 99 Parkway. So, there's going to be some retail that occurs down there, and, people that are in large corporations, especially food and general merchandising, corporations are going to be interested in some of that space.
That's right. We're speaking with Dr. Daryl Myers, and he is the superintendent of schools for Cleveland Independent School District. Currently, the school district is asking for a bond to be passed by the voters. And if you don't mind, before we go too much further, would you recap real quickly what we expect this bond money to build for us or take care of?
You bet. We're asking for the $80 million bond. Essentially, we need to build another elementary school. That elementary school would house approximately 900 students. And then we're asking to also be able to double the size of our current high school. Our high school right now is overcrowded by about 200 and some odd kids. We really need essentially to double the space there to be able to take that building up to about a 2,000 to 2,100 student campus. And then the third leg of the bond is for a facility which we call a service center for support services, which would include transportation, warehousing, our food and nutrition departments and their freezers, as well as maintenance and custodial. So that's essentially what the bond covers. And as far as the impact on the tax rate, like I said, it's about 3.5 cents per $100 worth of value. That means that if you own a $75,000 home or so, you know, you're going to be paying about $17 a year or so on that. So,
and one other thing that I had thought of, you and I were talking about the kind of an advantage of taking it in chunks as opposed to $200 million all at one time or something like that. As these bonds are paid off, as they retire, you're actually going to be freeing up other money a little earlier.
Yeah, that's correct. And we go by and we do refis or refinancing of bonds that in the past that we've had, both to save on interest by refunding those bonds, and also by being able to lower that debt so that we can retire them earlier. So as you go through, there is advantages to having you know, several different bonds sold under different years as far as financing is concerned.
So, folks, I guess what I'm trying to find out, and hopefully we are finding out, is this isn't being done haphazardly. There's a lot of planning and thought that's gone into this. And the fact is if the students are going to be here, we have to educate them, right?
Well, that's correct. When students present themselves, you know, if they live within our district, then it's our responsibility to educate them. If that's where their residence is. So, yeah, it's a situation where we're growing and our student population is growing at a very rapid rate. As you said, it's not something that's done haphazardly. We work with financial advisors. We work with our architects and we work with demographers to try to find what the best solution is for Cleveland ISD, not necessarily what it is some other school district.
And that's the particulars of it, is the finer points is you can take a little bit of direction from different areas, as what you and I talked about, but what happens there, you know, their drainage is going to be different than our drainage. The price of property is going to be different and their growth rate is going to be different. And for that matter, Who is making up the district changes all the time?
Well, sure, their ethnicity breakdown, their property values, their, I guess, commercial industry and so forth. It changes so much from district to district that, you know, districts are pretty autonomous as far as what their particular makeup is. But with that said, still, like we talked about with the Fast Growth School Coalition, you can get in there and find out some of the finer things that some of those other school districts have done that have really worked for them on dealing with fast growth, and then some mistakes that they've made as well. They don't always necessarily fit in Cleveland, but some of them we can utilize and take advantage of.
Yes. We're speaking with Dr. Daryl Myers. He is the superintendent of schools for Cleveland Independent School District. As you'd mentioned, we recently passed a $30 million bond?
It was $35 million.
And how is the, just to update us, how are the building and stuff going with that?
We're doing well with that. If you go to the middle school or our east side campus, you can see that the red iron is almost complete, especially the east side. We've got framing going up and siding, as well as the top going on the building. So it's starting to really look like a building. Over at our middle school campus, we had a little issue with some of the red iron. Our steel fabricator had some issues with the fabrication, and we got a few weeks behind, but it's coming along, and they're hoping to be able to make up that time during the summer. We've got the chillers in over at Southside. They've been installed, and we have new chillers in that to run that building. And then we have some summer projects that are coming up that are associated with that bond as far as safety projects on some of the other campuses. That need to be installed with locking vestibules and things of that nature.
Okay, so we're coming along pretty good. Only a couple of things that were delayed. That's not bad.
You know, any time that you're dealing with construction, especially in Southeast Texas, you're at the mercy a lot of times of the weather until you can get something dried in and framed up and dried in. So. Given the weather and given some small issues that we have with steel fabrication on one of the projects, you know, we're not doing bad. We're doing okay, and we're gonna have some nice facilities out of the project.
And that's good to hear. I guess I would be remiss in not asking about the fact that you are going around in circles trying to get all the kids moved up a grade. You've got graduation and of course from junior high they go to high school, you know, the whole thing. Everybody's getting ready to change, and you're in the midst of finding out if all the grades worked and things like that. So how about the high school? How many graduates you think we're going to have in round figures?
In round figures, I would think at the high school we'll have about 220. One of the things that we're seeing, RT, and you can look in the lower grades, I mean, we've got lower grades that have 400 kids in them.
Yeah.
So it pretty much tells you that we're graduating smaller classes at the top, but the classes at the bottom of the spectrum were probably three times as big as they used to be. So it kind of gives you an idea of where the growth's coming from.
Yeah, and it tells you what we have to look forward to is these young children grow and become young men and women in our school system and in our community.
Our whole thought process as far as the school district's concerned is that when our graduates walk across the stage, that they have options and they have choices in life, whether it be academic choices or vocational choices. So, you know, we want to make sure that our graduates, when they get into our society, into the real world, so to speak, that in their adults, that they have options.
Well, Dr. Myers, I appreciate you being my guest today. You were very patient with our little interruption there, but thank you for being my guest today.
RT, it's always a pleasure, and I appreciate you having me on.
Okay, well, I guess that wraps it up for Cox Radio. For your information here on Sunday morning, we appreciate you listening. And Picker, key up that flat top and take us on home.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.